You'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 verse 9, we're going to be focusing on just four words at least. Hallowed be your name. And I'm certain that every one of us in this place has prayed the Lord's Prayer. But have we known the power of prayer? Have we grasped the passion with which we need to pray? And have we experienced God's presence in our prayer? Just this past week in my quiet time, I was working through 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 4, verse 20, I was reminded, it says, Paul says to us, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power." We've already looked at the first part of this prayer, "Our Father who is in heaven," and we're reminded on the one hand, our Father speaks of relationship. It was a radical concept in Jesus' day to pray Daddy, because that's the word that stands for. It was radical. It speaks of relationship. "Our Father who art in heaven," that speaks about reverence and awe for God. And perhaps those words put us in our place. When it comes to the absolute majesty of God, who art in heaven. There in those words we see the transcendence, the glory, the awesomeness of God. Let's just pray as we commence. Father, we just thank you for this celebration service of prayer. And Lord, as we consider prayer, Lord, this theme that prayer turns the world upside down. Oh God, won't you grip our hearts? Give us a new vision for prayer. And oh God, begin to stir in the hearts of this church, Lord, as we seek you. Because you are the God of the universe. And oh, how we need you in our lives, in the life of this church, and in the life of this nation. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen. Now, if you've traveled to Hawaii, you may have learnt a new word. That word is ha'oli. Not holy, but ha'oli. And the people on the mainland of Hawaii, or the people in Hawaii at least, they use it with some disdain or criticism. And other times they use it in other ways. Alice Kaluma explains the meaning of this word. "Before the missionaries came," she says, "my people used to sit outside their temples for a long time, meditating and preparing themselves before they enter. Then they would virtually creep to the altar to offer their petition, and afterwards would sit outside, this time to breathe life into their prayers. The Christians, when they came, they just got up, uttered a few sentences, said amen, and were done. For that reason, my people call them ha'olis, without breath. Or those who fail to breathe life into their prayers." Now, whether the missionaries who first came to Hawaii many years ago deserve this description or not, I can't say. But ha'oli certainly describes certain Christians well. Those who live in the fast lane, dashing into God's presence, uttering a few empty conventionalities or Christian platitudes or cliches, pausing to make a few requests. And it's interesting, isn't it, that when we get into trouble, our prayers seem to get longer. Don't know if you've had that experience. Then stepping back into the rush. We are often spiritual ha'olis if we do not take time to breathe life into our prayers. And certainly Jesus addresses this in the Lord's Prayer. The first petition in the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be your name," is designed to put God in his rightful place by our worship. You may equally conclude that Jesus was keeping us from rushing into his presence. You know, the most natural tendency in the world when we pray is to turn to God for our wants and our wishes, putting our requests forward to God without any regard for God the Father above what might be on God's agenda. We rush in, we utter what we need to, and we do not pause to listen. To put it another way, the Lord's Prayer is given to us to primarily seek God's face and not his hand. Isn't that so true? How often we seek God's hand, but we do not come and pray and seek God's face. You know, seeking his hand is to ask him to do this or that. Seeking his face, on the other hand, is to honor his personhood, his character, his heart, and his own agenda. You see, most of us think of our own agenda when we pray. It does not occur to us that perhaps, just perhaps, God has his own agenda. Hallowed or holy be your name. Now, we need to remember that this prayer is divided into two parts. The first part is about God's prayer list, which has three petitions. The second part is our prayer list. And interestingly, God sets the agenda for both. God has his three prayer requests that we pray for. We pray that his name may be hallowed or made holy. That's just the emphasis, by the way. The screen played, okay. We pray that his name may be hallowed. We pray that his kingdom may come. And we pray that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then it's our turn as we pray for ourselves. Give us our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In a word, by praying, hallowed be your name, Jesus gives us an invitation to pause and to worship before we get into anything else. Friends, let me just say it again, it's so important. When we utter those words, hallowed be their name, God invites us to pause and to focus on who he is. You see, God only wants what is best for us. And it is best for us to first focus on God before we focus on ourselves. Of course, there are times when there are emergencies. And all we can do is to focus on that need and instead of recalling the pattern that we find in God's word. Remember Peter, as he began to sink, he'd walked out on the water, he'd stepped out in faith, and he began to sink, and all he could utter, Matthew 14 verse 30, was, Lord, save me. You know, he didn't have time to worship at that stage. David prayed in a moment of absolute desperation. Oh Lord, turn Ahithophel's counsel into foolishness. And we read that God answered that prayer. Stephen, the first martyr of the church, while being stoned to death, would simply cry out, Lord, do not hold this against them. And you know, when we're in times like that, God understands. If praying our Father in heaven is to keep us in our place, praying, hallowed or holy be thy name, if we pray it from our hearts, demonstrates that we're in a good place, a very, very good place, because we're starting our prayers by worshiping God. Consider Hebrews 4:16 for a moment. One of the great verses that motivate us to pray and to seek God's face. Let us then approach the throne of God, of grace, with confidence, so that we may receive mercy in our time of need. Like the Lord's Prayer, this verse is carefully worded, from keeping us from rushing into God's presence. And then enumerating our needs, our long lists, before we recognize who God is. You know, it tells us that the first thing we need to do is to receive mercy when we approach God. You know, every Christian, whether he or she prays, is to seek for God's, to seek God's mercy before they do anything else. You see, the mercy of God is what the lost sinner requests when he's to be accepted by God. The one who's been justified, declared righteous before God, is the one who prays, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And you know, not only do we ask for God's mercy when we're lost, but every Christian needs to seek God's mercy. And why is that? Why do every one of us, although we're saved, need to seek God's mercy? I want to say this morning that we never outgrow our need for God's mercy. Hebrews 4:16 therefore makes us focus on God and His character before we do anything else. So, what is Jesus saying to us in this prayer at this point? We're asked to pause and acknowledge God's name. Don't move on, Jesus says to us, until you acknowledge the Father's name. Now, it's interesting when you read the Gospels that Jesus always, always, always focused on the Father. John 5 and verse 19, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what the Father is doing. Jesus' priority was always the Father's name. And now, teaching us to pray, He teaches us to do exactly the same thing, to focus on God and who He is. Hallowed be your, what is it? Hallowed be your name. What does it mean to hallow or to make holy? The Greek word means to make holy. If you're into language, it's the imperative passive, which simply means to set apart as holy, to treat as holy, or to consider holy. Jesus is not saying, well, holy is your name. Rather, it is a plea that the Father's name now and in the future will be regarded as holy. Mind you, God's name has always been holy, hasn't it been? Psalm 111 verse 9, holy and awesome is His name. Psalm 103 verse 1, praise His holy name. Isaiah 37 verse 17, whose name is holy. The petition therefore is not a plea that His name becomes holy, but that His name will be seen as holy. You know, we need to ask ourselves an important question. Do I really regard the Father's name as holy? I want you to think about that for a moment. Don't just suddenly rush in and say yes. You see, in this petition, we are made to pause, to acknowledge the name, which according to Paul in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9 is above every other name. How can we ask for this name to be hallowed or to be made holy, if we ourselves do not treat his name as holy. Therefore, Jesus tells us we need to be still, we need to think, and we need to ponder about the name of God. What is in a name? I remember when I was in Cape Town, there was a business that was called What's in a Name? Quite strange, isn't it? But there are two essential things in a name: identity and reputation. God, Moses, if you remember in Exodus chapter 3, he asked God about his identity. Exodus 3 verse 13 to 14. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" Now the word Yahweh, the name Yahweh, means "I am who I am," or "I will be who I will be." And that is God's name, which identifies him as the God of Israel. In ancient times, the name was closely related to who the person was. It was often exploratory and revelatory. And so remember, the name Abraham means, what does it mean? Father of many. The name Israel means he struggles with God. Remember how Jacob struggled with God, Genesis 32, 28. And the name was also tied into the person's reputation. And we find Moses later, he appeals to God's name and to God's reputation when he begins to pray and he intercedes on behalf of Israel. Remember, we read at one point God is fed up with Israel and he wants to wipe them out. He's going to destroy the people for their unbelief and start again, raise up Moses and his family and start a new nation. And Moses appeals to God and says, "God, please don't do this." Numbers 14, 13 to 16. Moses said to God, "Then the Egyptians will hear about it. By your power, you brought these people up from among them. They will tell the inhabitants of this land about it. They have already heard about you, O Lord, and with these people that you, O Lord, have been seen face to face, that your cloud stays over them, and that you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. If you put these people to death all at one time, the nations who have heard this report about you will say, 'The Lord was not able to bring these people into a land he promised them on oath, so he slaughtered them in the desert.'" And so we see, as we look at this prayer, that Moses appeals to God's identity and God's reputation, asking God to forgive his people. And you know what? We read that God does exactly that. He responds to this prayer. Remember David, as he speaks about his motive for building a temple for God. His motive was that the name of the Lord, David's chief motive at least in building a temple for God, was for the name of the Lord our God. 1 Kings 5:5. The Lord's prayer certainly has to be prayed with earnestness and zeal, that the Lord's name would be hallowed or seen as holy. In one of the questions of the Greater Catechism, Martin Luther asks the following question: "How is God's name hallowed amongst us?" In other words, how is God's name to be made holy among us? And friends, this is an important question for us as a church to answer. And the answer it gives is as follows: when our life and doctrine are truly Christian. Now you're going to see that our lives have got to correlate for what we pray for. God's name is reverenced when we lead lives that reflect His fatherhood. Let me say it again because this is incredibly important. God's name is reverenced, it's made holy when our lives reflect God's fatherhood. We cannot truly pray, Lord, let your name be holy, without dedicating ourselves to God, because that would simply be idle talk. When we pray, hallowed be your name, you know what we do? We pledge ourselves to be accountable to that name. You know, accountability is when we give reckoning for our actions. If we pray for God's name to be treated as holy, yet have no regard for manifesting holiness in my own life, then I am a hypocrite. So when I pray this prayer, I am making a commitment to be the kind of person who brings glory to God's name. You know, I need to be careful when we use or misuse the Lord's name in vain. In fact, the third commandment says, you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. I need to be careful when I use God's name for my personal interests. Isn't it so subtle? You know, we've got a pet project or a doctrine we want to push, and we claim that God backs my plans or my project, whatever it is. And you know what we do? We use God's name to a person to garner respect and to support our view. I've said this before and I'll say it again. When a person comes to me and they want to sell me something or offer a service, and they say, Pastor, I'm a Christian, I want to tell the red lights begin to flash, because my experience tells me that they're anything but that. And we do this in another way. We say the following. We say that the Lord has told me. How many times have you heard that? The Lord has told me, and you can't argue against that, can you? We misuse His name. And the chances are, I'm not trying to make Him look good, but I'm trying to make myself and my argument look good. And that is misusing the Lord's name. So when we utter those words, hallowed be your name, we are making a pledge to live accordingly. We pledge to hallow His name with our words. We pledge to hallow His name with our worship. And isn't it so important as a church to worship together? We pledge to hallow His name by having the right thoughts about God. And isn't it so important? Our thoughts direct our lives. But you know, there's more than this. To pray, hallowed be your name, is to pray for the advancement of the reputation of God's name, of the Father's name. We are praying that the Father's name will be held in honor with the name that the name deserves. It is praying that the whole world will bow before God. And friends, we can pray this for our church, that we would be a church, as we sang earlier on, that bows down to God Himself. Would we not like a church? Would we not like God to put His name on this church as He did in the first century church in Jerusalem? Will we not pray that God's glory would be manifest at Watercloof Baptist Church? Wouldn't that be incredible? That people would know that God's presence and glory reflects from this church. We pray that He will see that His name is treated as holy, that He would manifest His glory, because His name and His glory is absolutely inseparable. Listen to what Ezekiel says in chapter 36 and verse 23. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned amongst the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I show myself holy through you before the eyes. And you know, finally, if God does not respond to our prayers in the way we would like him to, we pray anyway, hallowed be your name. You know, it's one thing to worship when God is pleasing to us and coming through and answering our prayers. But you know, it's another thing to worship God when he isn't doing what we want him to do. Remember Job, Job 1:21. The Lord can give and the Lord can take away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Whereas three Israelites who faced the fiery furnace would put it when their lives were threatened. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of the God you have set up. Friends, don't forget that the Father's name is holy already. God is holy in himself. His name is all that is true of God, for God's name is what it is, what he is. But we pray that this will be demonstrated in our lives, whether the people around us bow down to God or not. And so the first prayer, the first petition at least, the first request of the Lord's Prayer is a call to worship. To worship God for being just who he is. I want us all to stand as we respond. If you'll all stand with me. In Isaiah chapter 6, we read of Isaiah. He often went to the temple or to church, Saturday, week by week. But you know, there came a day when Isaiah saw God for who he really was. For the very first time, and this man had been to the temple, he'd worshipped God time and time again. But you know what? He had never grasped the holiness of God. Now I want to close with this morning. Read about it in Isaiah chapter 6. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphim were standing above him. They each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. His glory fills the whole earth. The foundations of the doorway shook at the sound of their voices, and the temple was filled with smoke. Then I said, and listen to Isaiah's response when he sees the glory of God. Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I live amongst the people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me. In his hand was a glowing coal that he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth, and with it he said, Now this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is removed, and your sin is atoned for. Then I heard a voice of the Lord asking, Whom shall I send, and whom shall go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. Friends, are you in that place? Let's spend a few moments in quiet as we confess our sins and as we ask God to display His glory in our hearts. Let's bow in prayer and ask the worship team to come forward. If you come forward right now, but let's just close our eyes. Oh God, how we long that Your glory would be manifest in this place. This Your house and this Your people. Oh God, may we grasp Your glory, Your majesty, and most importantly, Your holiness. Because Father, when we do that, our lives will change. Lord, as we pray, hallowed be Your name. May You touch us that we would be different. Friends, won't you just cry out to God this morning? Father, what an honor it is that we can be called Your children. Father, help us to align our lives with You and with Your glory. We pray this all in Your precious name. Amen.